So welcome on this, the fourth Sunday in Advent. Can I ask the Hender family to come and light the Advent candles for us? Thanks, Kate. So the first Sunday of Advent, we lit the which candle? The hope candle, as we look forward to the coming one who's the hope for the world. So we light that candle. The second Sunday of Advent, we lit the peace candle. He is the way of peace. The third Sunday, last Sunday, we lit the joy candle, hence joy to the world. And today we light the love candle. So the candles would symbolize these aspects of what Christ brings into the world. Thank you. Let's pray. Lord, today on this fourth Sunday of Advent, as the light is getting stronger, as we await the announcement again of the coming one, may it be this day that this light burns strongly in us. Speak to us by your word this day, we pray, in the name of Christ. Amen. Let's continue to sing Angels We Have Heard on High. Okay, I want you to pretend we're at the trivia night, and this is a What Am I quiz. Now, you know the rules. If you think you know the answer, stand, and I'll ask you. Don't yell it out, okay? So here we go. We're at the trivia night. A what am I? I am usually quite small. I can fit in the palm of your hand. With my help, people can literally move mountains. I am seldom alone. Usually I am found with others of my kind. I can encourage great power from dormancy. When I am lost, chaos and panic erupts. I am often made of metal, but these days I am a Visa card. No, not a credit card. Good try. Although, we'll see when we get to the end whether that fits as well. I'm often made of plastic and electronic components. I can prevent or allow people to pass from one place to another. Not a microchip? Not a mobile phone? See, this is good. I'm getting near the end of the clues. Normally, someone gets it in the first line. I fit specifically into certain places. I am often part of a security system. Well, we can't go on till you get it. No. I am a key. You're about to say that. You're about to say that. Right. Well done. Lewis Carroll wrote, of course, Alice in Wonderland, the tale of the girl who fell down the rabbit hole and entered this land of great adventure. Lewis Carroll also wrote another story, less known. He wrote a story, it's very insightful, about a padlock that was alive. And its long, thin arms were waving everywhere, nervously excited, running hither and thither. One day, another character in the story stopped this twisting, turning, wriggling padlock and asked, "What is the matter with you? Why are you so excited and unhappy?" And waving his long, thin, spindly arms in the air, the padlock burst out with, "I am seeking the key to unlock myself." What an insightful thought from Lewis Carroll. I am seeking the key to unlock myself. In other words, what he's saying to us is we are each a lock, a padlock as it were, and we are each seeking the key to unlock our lives. I believe that in the incarnation, in the birth of Jesus Christ, the key was given to the world. Now today we're going to weave our way through a range of Bible texts which I think reveal the key to the world. We're going to start in an obscure place in the Psalms. Hang in there with me, because it'll come together. So, Psalm 40, "Sacrifice an offering you did not desire, but my ears you have pierced. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, 'Here I am, I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, O my God. Your will is within my heart.'" Now, questions. Who is this about? This is in the Psalms. Who is this about? Who is the one who is going to say, "Here I am to do your will, O God"? Who is written about in the scroll? Who will do the will of God? Now compare that reading from the Psalms with one of today's readings, which is from Hebrews. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then I said, 'Here I am, it is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God.'" So the writer of the Hebrews, using Psalm 40, was quite clearly telling us that this Christ was prophesied from of old, was the one who said, "Here I am," and was the one who came to do the will of God. In other words, this Christ is the key. Now let's go to another of today's readings, and we're going to cross now into Micah. Now, as soon as we mention Micah at Christmas time, everyone's mind goes straight away to the verse about Bethlehem and a woman in labor and a baby, right? Probably that's where your mind went. Now, that is Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. But why do we jump over Micah chapter 5 and verse 1? We are transported back 700 years before the birth of Christ. And the prophet Micah looked forward and said this. This is the verse 1 before we get to the Bethlehem bit. "Marshal your troops, O city of troops, for a siege is laid against us. They will strike Israel's ruler on the cheek with a rod." So before we get to that famous verse about Bethlehem and a woman in labor and so on, first we have this strange verse. So it's sort of compressed together. What does it mean? What's the city of troops? Well, the city of troops is the city of Jerusalem. And Micah is saying, I look forward, and before I see a woman in labor at Bethlehem, I see Jerusalem under siege, and I see its leader being struck in the face. Well, did it happen? We know the bit about Bethlehem, but did this bit happen? 100 years later, Jerusalem was under siege from Nebuchadnezzar's army. And the ruler in Jerusalem at the time was Zedekiah. And the invaders struck him on the face. They put out his eyes. So that was fulfilled. And then we get to the Bethlehem one. Next verse. "But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. From Bethlehem will come the key." Surely it should have been Jerusalem, the capital, the place of the palace. Bethlehem? I don't think so. "But from you, Bethlehem, will come the key." Not only will the key be born in Bethlehem, but his origins are from ancient times, meaning the key comes from God. Then Micah goes on with, "Therefore Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor gives birth." So a particular girl is going to be involved in this story. And then he says, "He will stand," that's the one who is given birth to, "he will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God." So the key will not be a politician with elected power, will not be a military leader with the power of force. The key will be a shepherd leader who cares for the sheep, protects the sheep, and guides the sheep. So, in summary, what we have is there's going to be a certain girl in labor, a specific place for the birth is named. This one born will have origins from ancient times, and this one who will be born will be a shepherd leader standing in the majesty of God. And the certain girl in labor was Mary, and the specific place name was Bethlehem, and the one born from ancient times is the Word made flesh. And Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." Does this not get us ready for Christmas? Now, what of this Mary? What did she sense? What did Mary know? Hannah.
did you know that your baby boy would give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kissed your little baby, you kissed the face of God. Oh, Mary, did you know?
Did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb, and the sleeping child you're holding is the great I am?
When Mary was told that she would give birth to a special child, she was also told that her elderly relative Elizabeth was also with child. Could it be? If what was told to Elizabeth was true, then maybe Mary could believe that what had been told to her was also true. How would she find out? She would have to go herself to find out. So she set off on a long and arduous journey. Mary left Nazareth. She couldn't go straight direct route, because that would have taken her through the land of the Samaritans. That was a no-go area. She would have to take the longer route, which is down following the Jordan River, down to Jericho, and then she would have to climb high up into the mountains. Perhaps she was on a donkey. Higher and higher, she would have climbed many thousands of feet above sea level. She came to Jerusalem, but didn't stop there. She kept going. She went over the top of the mountain and then down the other side to a little village, the village where Elizabeth lived. Let me take you there. This is the village that's venerated as the place, the village where Zechariah and Elizabeth lived, and where we think Mary went to find her relative Elizabeth. So we walked down the road there and we came to a church. We went into the church. There's a church built over the spot. And you can see at the end wall there's a mural, a painting. Let me take you in closer. And that's what we saw at the end wall. You see the greeting of Mary and Elizabeth. So there's a little village which is commemorated as being this place where this story happened. Let's listen to what happened when Mary knocks on the door, as it were, and greets Elizabeth. Thanks. Geneve's going to come and read it to us.
From Luke 1:39. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea. When she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed and she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her.
So the two women fell into each other's arms. Now remember, until this moment, Elizabeth has no knowledge of what has happened to Mary. But immediately Elizabeth knew. The Spirit came upon her and she knew. Now you would have thought it would have been the other way around. Elizabeth was the one who was obviously pregnant, 6 months pregnant. Now do you remember how 2 weeks ago when we looked at the story of Elizabeth and Zechariah, we talked about what was revealed unto Zechariah, how Elizabeth would bear a son, they would call him John, he became John the Baptist, the forerunner, the messenger. And then Mary turns up, knocks on the door as it were, enters the house, they fall into each other's arms. Elizabeth speaks this word of prophecy and now Mary responds. Let's listen to the next bit.
Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations shall call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich empty away. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors."
Why don't you look again at the first, the opening stanza of Mary's song. That's her song, of course, it's called the Magnificat. The opening words were, "My soul glorifies the Lord." Now, can I change that a bit? The Greek text actually uses a different word. The Greek is, "My soul magnifies the Lord." And I think there's a difference between the word magnify and glorify. Think about it. With a magnifying glass, you bring something into sharp focus. The word magnify means to enlarge. The idea that my soul can magnify the Lord. How can this be? This is but a peasant girl, not yet married. How can she magnify God? And yet that is exactly what happened. Through her, God was magnified for the world, brought into sharp focus, made clear. What seemed impossible to Mary became possible. Now here's the question. Does your life magnify the Lord? Can your life be a magnifying glass bringing the things of God into sharp focus? Can others see that the Word truly was made flesh because of how you live? Now, Elizabeth was in the 6th month of her pregnancy when Mary set out on her journey south. We don't know how long it took her to make that journey. It would have taken some days, surely. And then we read, Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. 6 months plus 3 months is 9 months. Do you get the gist of that? That means that Mary was there at the birth of Elizabeth's baby, at the birth of John the Baptist. That's what it means. Think about that. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was present at the birth of the forerunner, John the Baptist. So, Mary and Elizabeth help us get ready for Christmas. There's one other key player in the story who helps us get ready as well, and that player is Joseph. His role is critical in all of this. I want to finish by playing you a reflection song, which you're going to hear the song through the voice of Joseph. Listen to his response. Thank you.
this road had taken him. 'Cause never in a million lives would he have dreamed of Bethlehem. And standing at the manger, he saw with his own eyes the message from the angel come alive. And Joseph said, why me? I'm just a simple man of trade. Why him with all the rulers in the world? Why inside this stable filled with hay? Why her? She's just an ordinary girl. Now I'm not a one to second guess what angels have to say, but this is such a strange way to say the word. How it could have been if Jesus had come as he deserved. There would have been no Bethlehem, no lowly shepherds at his birth. But Joseph knew the reason love had to reach so far. And as he held the Savior in his arms, he must have thought, why me? I'm just a simple man of trade. Why him with all the rulers in the world? Why inside this stable filled with hay? Why her? She's just an ordinary girl. And now I'm not a one to second guess what angels have to say, but this is such a strange way to say the word. Such a strange way to say the word. This is such a strange way, such a strange way, a strange way to say.
So Mary, Elizabeth and Joseph, get us ready for Christmas. Get us ready to behold the key that unlocks our lives. Let's pray. Lord, today as we read all these scriptures, Micah, looking forward, naming the place, a girl, a birth. Hebrews, looking back, the key, the Psalms. Then Luke's Gospel, the story, Elizabeth, Mary, and then the song, Joseph, all these elements that get us ready for Christmas. Lord, may it be that this day we're drawn even closer to you, to the Word made flesh. May it be that that incredible news moves in our hearts and minds in this last week leading into Christmas. And so we pray in the name of Christ. Amen. Can I invite the band back, please?